number one sports site in the world.
Live from the Quick and Loan studios of the Yahoo Sports Radio headquarters. Nighttime is the right time.
You know the nighttime now.
It's Tony D on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio as we take you through the night tonight. I am Tony D on a night where, the Cleveland Cavaliers had some fun. For Atlanta, I'm sure it was a problem. 25 three-pointers, a new NBA record. 25 from behind the arc. Boy, we've got a brand new basketball game. I mean, it's all about the three. And Cleveland, I think, sent a message. I think they wanted to showcase something about their team. And again, I think it comes with playing. You play in the game and you start noticing you're knocking down threes. You start noticing that, you know what? We can set a record here. We're doing great. We've got balanced attack. I think LeBron is putting himself a really good team. I think he's got himself a team that is starting to really gel and come together. And you watch him and you think, God, if they can do this, if they can play this way through the postseason, that it's not just going to be a coronation of the Golden State Warriors. I still think the Warriors are the best team in the basketball, and I still think they're going to win the title. But I think Cleveland, a healthy Cleveland team, could make it really interesting in the finals if it gets that far. The East is bad. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, there's that saying that, you are what your competition is sometimes. And the Atlanta Hawks are a team they like to move the basketball around. They like to have balanced scoring. They have played really good defense, but they're not in the league of the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavs have beat them 9 straight times. But I thought tonight was one of those, hey, I think we can do something really great here. So they continue to hit threes. And then after the game, Charles Barkley suggested that the Atlanta Hawks get more physical in game three and, quote, take somebody out, which really set that set into a real conundrum as they were trying to dissect exactly what Charles Barkley was saying. But I thought he was right in a way. I'm not saying don't go Tanya Harding on the Cavaliers, but don't make it easy. Because standing around and watching the Cavaliers knock down three-pointers was exactly the defensive strategy of the Atlanta Hawks tonight. Let's be spectators, and then we'll go down to Phillips Arena and see what we can do there. But it was a really bad night for Atlanta. At one point, it was a 2-1 scoring advantage for the Cavaliers. I think they were up 78-36 or something like that, 78-39 or something like that. It was double Atlanta score, and yet Cleveland score. It was a tough night for Atlanta. But just to watch those three, but like uncontested, not even going out to just do something, to not want to see the record, to try to at least slow them, didn't even care. So they got to go regroup for game three, and they might actually take Charles Barkley's advice and get a little bit more physical. All right, speaking of physical, I use this show sometimes as a little, moment where I could complain about something I see, something I, observe. And I am a father of two. I've been married for 18 years. And so as I've gotten older, I'm not a teenage kid when it comes to good-looking women at the gym. Okay. Yeah, I'd go, hey, it's, good-looking lady, whatnot. But, I'm not 21. So today I'm at the gym. And there are three college girls in the gym, and I at first thought that they were shooting a commercial or shooting a video, or it was one of those prank candid camera type of things, because I live in a small town outside of Nashville, and I go to the gym and I see the same people all the time, look, I don't go a lot, but when I go, I see the same people. And I go into the gym, and I'm on the elliptical machine, and I'm kind of hanging out, listening to my podcasts and whatnot. And these three college girls walk in, and they are drop-dead gorgeous. If you live in a town, the quality of your town, right? I mean, I think we've all been there. I know I have never seen these girls before, and I know I haven't seen these girls in town before. So I kept thinking to myself, being a media guy, and I go, are these girls shooting a video? Or is there something? Are they here for a reason? Because this doesn't seem right. They were in the skimpiest workout outfits that I've ever seen in that gym, going on 5 years of going out to this rec center. I've never seen anybody wear anything that small. These girls, good looking. They look like they were like beer models at a restaurant. They were all working out, lifting weights, giggling, doing, you know. I thought somebody is shooting this video. Somebody is shooting a video of this. Maybe they want to see us react. Like, you know, something doesn't belong in the good old gym here in Spring Hill. And I looked around at the guys, and I could sense that the guys were like, who are these girls? Like, where did this come from? And then the old man that runs the, like, he's like works at the rec center and he kind of monitors the gym, walks up to the three girls, says something, doesn't look happy. They leave and we never see them again. And I really wanted to ask what he said to them. I think he had a problem with their wardrobe. I think he saw them and went, that doesn't belong here. You got a lot of older people that go to this rec center. You know, it's a nice place to work out, but it's not like a Gold's Gym or anything like that. And they were really skimpy. And again, here I am. I'm a, you know, happily married man with two kids. I was disappointed. I was like, I never get to do that at the gym. I'm always just contemplating my own, you know, death march on the treadmill and my own, you know, elliptical worries. And I'm looking down at and thinking to myself, how in the world did I get like this? My God, I should be ashamed of myself as I'm trying to lose that extra pounds and trying to burn off calories from that Fudgy the Whale cake I had the other night. And I finally, I'm like, wow, look at these three girls here. This is something I never see here at the rec center. And some old man was like, girls, it's too, you're not wearing good clothes. You've got to leave. And they're gone and they never return. I would love to find out if we end up on a reality show. So if you're perusing channels, and this is the reason I bring this up. If you're perusing channels and for some reason you stumble upon a hidden camera-like show, and there are three blonde college-age girls in some skimpy, way too skimpy workout outfits. And you see a guy with a black shirt and Steeler shorts on an elliptical with kind of a wide eye. That's me, right? So if I'm in the background, that's me. If somebody was secretly filming it, unfortunately, that's me. I don't know if they ever got anything. It had to have been because, again, I probably will never see those three again at the gym.
So. Well, wouldn't they have to get a release from you?
Right, don't you think?
On TV?
I would think so, right?
I mean, I'm
and I didn't see a camera.
Sure.
Yeah. I did not see a camera anywhere. But I mean, I am not kidding. I said, this is a commercial. This is something. This is not normal.
Well, the first show that came to my mind was that What Would You Do?
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yeah, exactly.
And it's more based on, you know, maybe how the owner or person working would react to these three. But then that guy, I forgot his name, always comes out and says, oh, it's a TV show. And
yeah, guys, hey, you're on the camera. Yeah. Let me tell you one. It was such an oddity, I did tell my wife.
But I would be upset, too, because honestly, like when I would go to the gym, you see something like that, you do work out a little bit harder.
Of course. Listen, I'm not going to even say hi to these girls,
no.
But I'm certainly not going to look like the fat guy on the elliptical machine that is exhausted after 3.5 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm going to be
busting,
you know,
your ass trying to, you know? Get.
And look, and I can play the fat man trying to get better card better than anybody, okay? When I go to the gym, that's where I get more thumbs up and way to go and looking good. I get more of those than anybody in the gym because I look like I don't belong there. And then when I'm there, people are just like, you know what? That makes my day to see that guy trying to lose some pounds, sweating like he is, doing the best he can. I want to let him know that. I get that a lot. So if any one of these three girls had just wanted to throw that my way, it would have made my day completely. Listen, I even told my wife, I said, I was at the gym today, and there was these three blonde, gorgeous college girls that clearly didn't belong at our rec center. Clearly out of our element. Never saw them before. Never even saw anything close to these three girls. And I said, I think they got kicked out because they were barely wearing anything. And my wife said, really? And I said, yes. I said, this old man walked up to them and he looked like he had some stern words with them. And then they kind of looked at each other and left. And we never saw them again. And I was there for a good 45 minutes afterwards and we never saw them come in again. I mean, really, like, I just can't enjoy one workout. I mean, I've put up with, you know, Mabel, the senior citizen, who's got that 1 5-pound dumbbell that she keeps lifting over and over again. And Mike, the bodybuilding champion, who's trying to get back into shape. For the first time, I get three gorgeous girls at the gym, and they go, no, you don't belong. Get out. Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D. On the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, coming up at the bottom of the hour in 15 minutes, Caleb Keller is going to join us from HRTV to talk about the Kentucky Derby that will be held on Saturday at Churchill Downs in Louisville. I love the Kentucky Derby. I love it. It's one of my favorite events. A lot of it comes from my grandfather loved it. So as I was a kid, I used to watch it with them, you know, that kind of thing. I used to talk horses with them. So I kind of grew to really love the event. But I have to say that now that we have a Triple Crown, now that I got to experience a Triple Crown, I got to be honest with you. It's a little bit, there's a little bit of, every year I go into the horse racing season wondering if there's going to be that Triple Crown winner. And after watching American Pharoah last year, I don't have that feeling this year. We may have one. I mean, we had back to back in the 70s with Affirmed and Seattle Slough, but I don't necessarily, I'm not as hyped up for the Derby because I saw what I kind of wanted to see out of the sport last year. It's like if you in baseball. I mean, I would love in my lifetime for somebody to get close to 56. You know, straight hits, 56 game hitting streak, like Joe DiMaggio's record. I'd love to see it come close to being broken. I thought, Pete Rose had come close. I remember Paul Molitor in the 80s. And I'd love for somebody to get close. If I saw it broke, I don't think I'd want to see it broke again. And not the Triple Crown is breaking a record, but my God, 37 years, I saw it, and I'm not exactly sure that I need to see it again. But still, the Nyquist is the lead horse in the Kentucky Derby. We'll talk to Caleb Keller about that coming up at the bottom of the hour. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, Brandon tweeting in, Hawks defense is greater than the non-existent Rockets defense Golden State played and set the record against. Yeah, that is true. That is true. But the Hawks defense was still pretty non-existent. I mean, comparing the Hawks defense and the Rockets defense, I mean, it's like two piles of stink. Which one smells worse? They're both pretty awful. I mean, the Hawks defense was terrible. It may have been better than Houston's, but it was still really, really bad. And again, I go back to this idea that Charles Barkley isn't exactly wrong when he says that the Hawks should be physical in Game 3. I know that it made Shaquille O'Neal and Kenny Smith and Ernie Johnson, I know it made them nervous on the set because you don't want to be on TV advocating the sports violence. You don't want to be caught advocating, let's break an arm, let's tear a shoulder, let's break a leg, let's do something to make a point. They didn't want to be around that, and certainly I understand. However, Barkley's point is well taken. You've got to do something. We're not going to go out there and purposely take guys out of the game, but I will tell you, it's going to be a lot more difficult. And we have to make our presence felt. We've got to do something. They're in our heads. We need to get in theirs. And maybe if we do some things on the physical side to make this game a little rougher, make Game 3 a little bit more drag out. I'm interested to see where it goes. I really am, because if it's an 81-78, my God, what have we done type of game? That to me is going to be compelling. I got to be honest with you. I might be interested in seeing how effective that might be. If LeBron is just going down the lane and he's just coming away going, what are they doing? But I again, I don't I don't think it's going to help Atlanta win the series. And when Barkley says take somebody out, he then claims it's not to take out a particular guy. Like, let's knock J.R. Smith out of this series. Let's get rid of him. Or let's take Kevin Love out of this series. No, I think he's take somebody out means let's be so physical that if somebody gets hurt, somebody gets hurt. All in the context of the game. But if Atlanta does that, I don't think it's good enough for them to win, but that might be something, a feather in their cap, I guess. I don't know. But we've seen this play. We've seen this in other sports. Other sports have done this. All right, so the Golden State Warriors take on, they will play Portland in game three. Now, no one is advocating that the Trailblazers do this. Everyone's advocating, well, Barkley's at least advocating it for Atlanta because he felt like that the Cavaliers, in pursuit of this record, sort of embarrassed the Hawks on purpose. My contention is I think Atlanta embarrassed themselves on purpose. Right? Atlanta's defense was bad all night. Cleveland was hot. They had the hot hand. They were hitting everything from the outside. They shot 55%. I don't think it was Cleveland embarrassing Atlanta 100%. I think Atlanta did some stuff to them as well. But I understand where Charles is getting at. Look, the game is out of hand. It's a big double-digit lead. It's late in the fourth quarter, and your guys are still knocking down threes to try to pursue a record. If I'm in Atlanta, that gets me mad, and if I get mad, I want to get physical, and if I get physical, somebody could get hurt, a la take somebody out. Charles Barkley did not have any real fans on that point of view on the set. And Charles Oakley said he was soft and was never tough and hides behind the desk at TNT on Twitter. 800-777-2907, 800-777-2907. I want to get to college football. The Big 12 is talking about expansion. They always seem to talk about expansion. Whether or not they do it is another thing. They want a college football conference championship game. At least that's what they feel they need. There was this study that was done by the Big 12, which, can I be honest with you, I thought it was kind of silly. But the study said that gave them a certain percentage, saying that because if you have a college football playoff game, conference championship game, you get a 4 to 5% better chance of making the big college football playoff. This is what this study concluded. So the Big 12 is taking that and saying, boy, you know, if we can just expand, you know, we might be able to get ourselves a conference championship game, and that might help. The interesting thing about this is that at first you would say, well, of course, why don't you go get some more teams? Get to 12, make your conference a little bigger, right? Get yourself a championship game where there's a little bit more money. Give yourself a better chance of getting into the college football playoff. After all, you had two of the better teams in the country the first year of this thing, and neither one of them made it. So go ahead. But the interesting thing about this, and we'll explore this after we talk to Caleb Keller about the Kentucky Derby, is that Texas is the team that is trying to slow this down. And they're actually putting pressure on TCU and Texas Tech not to allow expansion. In order for the Big 12 to get expansion, 8 of the teams have to vote for it. And that Texas is putting pressure on both Texas Tech and TCU to not vote for that. And the reason is they don't want to give up the Longhorn Network because they don't want to see the Big 12 go to 12 teams and thus build their own network. They want to keep the Longhorn Network. It's fascinating that these kind of things are coming together. We'll talk more about that coming up. But first, Nyquist is the favorite for the Kentucky Derby. How much of a favorite is he? What about Bob Baffert? A lot of focus on American Pharoah's success from last year. But what about his horse, More Spirit? We'll talk the Derby next on Yahoo Sports Radio.
Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
Thanks for joining us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. Well, coming up on Saturday, one of my favorite events of the year, it's the Kentucky Derby, a run for the roses at Churchill Downs. Well, what does the field look like and what can we expect on Saturday? Caleb Keller joins us from HRTV or on Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Caleb?
Doing well. And actually, I tell you what, I've been at TVG here for now 4 years, and TVG's on the up and up. We actually purchased HRTV, and now we got TVG and TVG2, so... How about that? We're doing well.
Oh, very good. All right, let's talk about Nyquist. All right, he's coming out of the 13 post. Is that a favorable post for him?
Oh, I think that's a good post. I mean, it didn't really matter. Here's how much respect I got for Nyquist in terms of how he runs forwardly in the herd, is that if he would have got the one post, I don't think it would have been really that big of a deal at all, because the horse got speed from the gate. A lot of the inside horses are your horses to lay back and make the run late. So Nyquist could have got – he probably didn't want the lead, but, you know, going into the Breeders' Cup at Keeneland, he just looked like a fast horse, you know. And I noticed in the first start where a horse came up to him by about a nose at the top of the stretch, and he held that nose the whole stretch. That, you don't usually see – sometimes you'll see a battle of holding off by a nose late in the race for the final, you know, inside of a 16th of a mile, final 100 yards. You'll rarely see a horse hold off by a nose or even engage a horse to let him come up by a nose at the top of the stretch and go the whole way. So I could tell he had tenacity, and not a lot of people really liked him going into the – juvenile. Some horses, the only way they're comfortable is if they're just leading and doing their own thing. They're independently running in the herd. They're like, I'm just going to leave you guys behind because I'm faster, and that's the only way they're happy. And Nyquist looked like maybe that horse, but it's rare when they can actually say, you know what, if you guys want to go early, I don't mind sitting off you for a little bit, and I'll get you here late. And that's a real sign of a horse that can make his own trip, won't beat himself.
Bob Baffert's always going to get attention when he gets to the Derby and last year with American Pharoah, so I'm sure he's being asked a lot about that. But more Spirit, tell me about him, and does that horse have a shot on Saturday?
You know, More Spirit's a horse that I could see running what they call a bit of an even, let's call it maybe even a fourth or fifth. I could see him running an even race where he doesn't run bad, but I don't necessarily know if I see him there really deep in the race to have that chance to win. We'll see. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at his only win this year, it was a perfect setup. You know, it was the first start of the year. He was a big favorite. And there was two horses in the race that were coming out of sprint that were going to go to the front. So basically the way it set up was your class. If you were in a classroom telling somebody about a perfect trip, you'd probably tell them about More Spirit and the Bob Lewis, because you had two sprinters that were dueling, and then he sat in behind. And not only as he sat in behind, you knew he was the better horse, but more importantly, he had that bottom. He already had, you know, four route races going long. So he basically couldn't lose that only win of the year. And then he's a big tank. He's got kind of a stride to not really quicken, but just keep on coming along. And I think that's more of maybe a Belmont horse late in the summer that could improve.
Caleb Keller joins us to talk Kentucky Derby Saturday at Churchill Downs. Give me some ideas of some of the other horses. Exaggerator, Creator, I know they've got some pretty good odds. Again, the quality of horses there.
There's a Derby picture that goes along that is developing as you get closer to May. And even though Exaggerator got beat in his first two starts of the year, I could really see that hidden Derby potential in him, because he could make a big move. He was handy. I thought he had good pedigree to run a good distance. His jockey, Kent DeSorma, almost created how to build a rally on a hand ride. So I think he can get him going with that hand ride to allow him to make his move. But now as we go into the Derby, he's the second choice.
All right, Caleb, let me ask you this, because last year we had the Triple Crown winner, and the sport had waited 37 years to get that Triple Crown winner. Did it get the value it wanted publicly from American Pharoah? He's on the cover of all the magazines. Heck, people even considered him for Sportsman of the Year. Did the sport see the kind of boost from a Triple Crown winner that people thought it would get?
Boy, I think so. I really do. Everything about it, just from the bell, Bob Baffert saying that was his best horse in his barn, and just everything about him. I think, Tony, when horses come along that are really special, they've got that mystique to them. They've got the aura and also the story. And he comes in with a half a tail. He had a half a tail as a two-year-old. Nobody from the farm ever fessed up to why that happened. He had a misspelled name. You know, Pharoah is actually Pharaoh. And I guess the owner, Zayat, put up a thing on Facebook. He said he had this real great horse coming along with asked him about names, and somebody put in on a comment, American Pharoah. Well, he just cut and pasted it and sent it right into the registry, the story I heard, and it was spelled wrong. So the misspelled name, but also, to just the horse. I mean, just a horse that never looked like he ever exuded one even ounce of stress in a stressful sport. A horse that just out-talented every horse from the beginning, just having that special, you've been selected to be a great horse. And also just Baffert. And I think with Mr. Zayat, maybe a polarizing guy, but at the same time, he's really been in the game at the highest level and had a lot of bad luck. You know, 20-something Breeders' Cup and Derbies and had never won one of them. And to kind of boil it over like that, you know, and also back to just racing royalty, Baffert, Zayat, big money, big horse, big talent, big mystique. And from the following, I think people did kind of attach themselves to it, to the story. And I mean, they gave away this Maker's Mark bottle, this blue and yellow American Pharoah commemorative here in Louisville. It's been crazy. People have been asking about it, lining up. You got bottles on hold. They had a big signing with Baffert Zayat. So it was a big deal, well-received. And if you got to wait that long, I think it was the right horse. I mean, I always say that people sometimes loosely throw around the term superstar. And I pretty much got into it. This game in 06 with Barbaro, and I would definitely call Barbaro a superstar in my mind. American Pharoah would be the other one. So I've been in it for a decade, and there's been two superstars that I've seen.
Caleb, thank you so much for your time tonight. Thank you again.
You got it. We'll do it again next year or before the Preakness or Belmont, but always good talking to you.
I mean, I tell you, I love the Kentucky Derby. I really do. But I, like I said, I think there's a little bit of luster for me. It's just me personally. A little bit of luster lost because I saw the Triple Crown. It's like the bucket list. I saw it. I remember growing up watching the Derby and thinking, all right, I want to see a Triple Crown. And then they didn't come, and then they didn't come, and then they didn't come. And then I would get excited when they would be the first two in the books, and we'd get to the Belmont, and everyone would be talking about Smarty Jones or Big Brown or Real Quiet or the number of other horses that we've had in the last 37 years that have had their shot. And so American Pharoah goes to the Belmont, and I'll never forget the day because we were gardening, and I kind of kid my wife because I give her the nickname the Saturday Killer. Because when she gets on these like home projects, like Saturdays are dead. And I remember going, hey, I got to watch the Belmont. So when the Belmont's on, I want to stop and I want to go in and watch it. And I was trying to explain to her why that horse race was important. She hates horse racing. So I was going in there trying to explain to her why this horse race was important. I said, I'm about ready to see or could see something I have never seen in my, you know, at least in my conscious lifetime of sports. Like I don't remember affirmed or, yeah, I don't remember the 70s and the horse racing, but I never experienced watching a Triple Crown. And when I told her how important this was, she had this glazed look in her eyes like, what? I don't care. You have to weed this pit and we have to move these flowers and we have to trim this bush and mow the lawn. And I was like, oh, I remember I was covered in dirt and mulch. And oh, and I remember running in to watch the Belmont. And my wife said, don't sit down. You're too dirty. And I said, all right. I stood in the living room and I watched American Pharoah run to the finish line. And I started screaming, just excited. Genuinely happy, caught up in the whole moment. I don't think anything beats that. I know this. Nyquist, the horse, if he's as good and if he has a chance to win the Triple Crown, I will watch it, but I will not be screaming in my house if he does it. I won't. I saw it. I thought it was a big deal. It was extremely important. As I told Caleb, there were people who thought that American Pharoah should have been Sportsman of the Year, Sports Illustrated. I thought he should have gotten some votes. That was a big moment. That was a historic moment. But if one of these horses at the Derby goes on to win the Triple Crown, it will be historic. But all of that excitement, all of the reason people gathered and people couldn't wait to see it and people were excited to see it, it's going to be a lot of percentages less than what we saw last season. Because, man, that was fun. I thought the cover of Sports Illustrated was one of the best covers. It's one I kept. I keep a few of them that are really, really good, and the picture is just beautiful. That picture was beautiful on the cover. All right, coming up next, I like to give job advice to young people. If you're young and looking for a thing to do in college to help set you up, I've got the perfect job and perfect advice. That's next, Yahoo Sports Radio.
To Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
All right, again, thanks to Caleb Keller helping us sort out the Kentucky Derby, which will be going on Saturday at Churchill Downs. Our telephone number, 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Facebook, Tony D Radio Show. You'll say hi. We'd like to say hi back. All right, so I remember a couple of weeks ago, I was telling you young people out there that are good at math that if you wanted a job in sports, learn to be a capologist, an NFL capologist. Learn how to work the salary cap. Every team needs that guy. Every team needs to know when a general manager goes, hey, we want to sign this guy for less but give him money like in some bonus structure. What are the rules and how do you do that? Just make that happen so I can free up some cap space. That could be you, Mr. Money, Mr. Knowledge of the Numbers. Well, apparently if you also, for whatever reason, start getting into sports analytics, It could be a very, very lucrative career as a general manager. Now, Theo Epstein and John Daniels and Andrew Friedman, these guys all got young. They were young GMs. Theo Epstein was very young when he got the job with the Red Sox. And I know John Daniels of Texas was in his late 20s. The Arizona Coyotes have hired a 26-year-old kid to be the team's new general manager. John Chavka, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, because I'm sure I'm going to hear about him soon, who graduated in Ontario and is a hockey analytics guy, is the general manager of the Arizona Coyotes at 26 years old. This is the new wave. This is where these sports have been going for a long time. They're heading in that direction. Argue analytics all you want. And I know there are plenty of people out there that do. But general manager jobs are now going to the brightest young minds who can figure this kind of stuff out.
I'm actually just going to start reading off the analytics and all the sabermetrics to my twin boys.
You might as well.
Right now. They might as well know what I'm saying. I'm just going to start doing it.
I know. 26-year-old general manager. And even if he's not successful, somebody will hire him at 32.
Yeah.
At 35. At 37. He's got experience in this. He's not going to give up analytics, and he's going to be experienced. He could walk in. Let's say he's not very good at Arizona, but he learns a lot while he's on the job. He at 25, at 35, he's not going to be the same person he was at 26, so he can go for an interview and say, yeah, you know, I made some mistakes. I was young. I did this and I did that. But here's what I learned from him, and I still keep this base of analytics together, and I still think we did some good things. We were able to do this, this, and this, and this. And keep our budget this, this, and this. And sure, we whiffed on that trade or we whiffed on that draft pick, but I've learned a lot since then. This guy's writing his own ticket for the rest of his life. At 26, he's a general manager. I can't imagine having that kind of responsibility at that age. I remember being 26. My God. I was the operations manager of a sports station in Vegas when I was 27. And that didn't carry a tremendous amount of responsibility. It was just making sure our schedules were all up, update the promos, keep everything running, you know, be the point man for board operators and one show that we had, making sure the station sound decent. It wasn't a lot, but I remember being, well, you know, a little overwhelmed. I was 27. I was going to manager meetings. I had an office. It was kind of cool. You know, it was kind of neat. It was a little bit of a power trip and a little, you know, you get a little bit of an ego, but I kind of knew it wasn't that big of a job. But if somebody had said to me, hey, 26, 27-year-old young man, how would you like to run an NHL hockey team? I mean, run an NHL hockey team, like top to bottom, like everything. Pick the players, pick the draft picks, trade players, go to meetings, sit with the commissioner, mingle with the fans to make sure they're having a good time. By the way, you'll get your own suite because the general manager should be in a suite. I don't know if I'd handle it. I would probably rack up the company credit card. I would probably buy frivolous stuff. I mean, at 26 years old, I wasn't exactly the most responsible guy. But this guy apparently has his head on his shoulders, and he learns all about this stuff, and the Arizona Coyotes go, yeah, sure. But this is a trend we've seen. I mean, like, these numbers shouldn't be all that shocking. I remember when Daniels got his job with Texas. I think he was 28 when he got the job. I remember thinking a general manager of a Major League Baseball team, 28, 29. I know Theo was less than 30 when he took over the Red Sox. It's remarkable, and all because the math part of these jobs are important. Again, analytics ain't going anywhere. They ain't going anywhere. Because as technology has grown and people can crunch numbers, and it's all a numbers game. Remember, analytics is, it's all about value. It's all about determining value. This player does these things. We plug them into a computer. We assign a value to these kind of statistics. We don't overpay on that, or we don't. We put together a team that can, you know, just all of that kind of stuff. If you've got a brain for it, sports will welcome you in. And if you're really good at it, sports will roll out the red carpet for you. It's pretty remarkable. 26, general manager of the Coyotes. What are we doing? That's great. Again, if I was 26 and I was general manager of the Coyotes, I'd probably change the team name for no reason whatsoever. I worked in minor league basketball for 2 years in my late 20s. We could barely keep that thing together. God, that's great. Good for John Chavka. John Chavka. That's C-H-V-K-A. Learn it. Recognize it. 26 years old. Coming up next, Adam's News of the Night. We'll go through the Major League Baseball Rewind and talk more about the NBA playoffs. And I want to get into that Big 12 expansion. That's all coming up in Hour 3, Yahoo Sports Radio.